ever think about those like historical places, you know, those really old buildings, and wonder, like, what went on there? What are they hiding? Today we're diving into a place called the Frelimaborg. It's this estate in the Netherlands, and it might just be a front for something secret, something, well, occult.
Yeah, my attention. Estates can be much more than just, you know, pretty houses. They were often built to reflect the owner's ambitions, like a physical manifestation of their beliefs even.
And the owner here, Enric Picard, well, he's a fascinating character.
Oh.
We've got all this like research on the estate itself, the guy's life story, and well, even some juicy 17th century gossip.
Okay, so lay it on me. Who was this Henrik Picard and why should we care?
So Picard, he starts out, you know, normal enough, modest upbringing in the Netherlands, nothing crazy, but he ends up, get this, as a confidant to King Louis XIV of France.
Wow. That's quite the climb.
And it's not just like he was some, I don't know, court jester.
He was Louis XIV's chamberlain.
The chamberlain, wow. That's a position of serious influence, not just someone you gossip with at parties.
Exactly. So we've got Picard. He's like best buddies with the most powerful guy in France. But then he ends up right back where he started, at this estate, back in the Netherlands.
So what happened? Fall from grace?
It wasn't exactly a smooth transition.
I'd imagine not. Spill the tea.
Okay, so Picard, he had to like escape Trance.
Escape.
Yeah, flee. It was all very mysterious. There are theories, of course.
Naturally.
Jealous lovers. Maybe even Louis XIV himself wanted him
Oh,
gone.
juicy.
But then you've got the rumors of a secret life, like
Well,
maybe some really dangerous activities.
this is getting good. So we have a social climber, possible scandals, and a hasty exit. What about the Frelimaborg itself? You said it might be more than meets the eye. So Picard gets back to the Netherlands, and he doesn't exactly lay low. He buys this estate, the Frelimaborg, in 1680. And then, get this, he starts to remodel it, like completely transforms the place.
Okay, but lots of wealthy people remodel their homes. What's so special about this one?
He wanted it to be just like Louis XIV's court. Can you believe that?
Wow. Talk about not letting go.
Yeah.
He brought a little bit of Versailles to the Netherlands.
Exactly. Like he was trying to hold on to that power and prestige.
I see.
But here's where it gets weird. Like there are these hints, right, that maybe there's something else going on, something more than just fancy architecture.
Like what?
Well, there's this tree, a black walnut tree.
A tree? What's so special about a tree?
It wasn't just any tree. It was known as the, get ready for this, the Freemason's tree.
Now that is interesting. Freemasons, secret societies, hidden meanings. We're venturing into intriguing territory here. But wait, were there actual Freemasons back then in Picard's time?
That's a great question, and it's kind of the heart of the mystery. Officially recognized Freemason lodges, those didn't really pop up until the 18th century,
Right.
after Picard's time, but
There's always a but.
we have evidence that similar groups, right, with similar ideas and practices, they were around a lot earlier.
So, like proto-Freemasons, meeting in secret, sharing their symbols, planting very specific trees.
Maybe. I mean, think about the black walnut tree itself. It was believed to have like special
The
powers.
special powers.
Yeah, like astral travel, you know, out of body experiences, that kind of thing.
Okay, so whether Picard actually believed in all that or if he just liked what it represented, it definitely adds a whole other layer to his story and all these choices he made. It makes you wonder.
Was this like his way of sending a signal, like, hey, I'm part of this club, this secret society? Or was he just, you know, drawn to the mystery of it all?
Fascinating.
And it doesn't stop there. We're just getting started. Picard, he also built a church nearby.
A church.
Yeah, the Harkstede Church. And let me tell you, this place is packed with even more symbolism. And a lot of it points back to, get this, the Temple of Solomon.
Hold on. The Temple of Solomon. Now, that's a pretty specific architectural reference. That's definitely not your average church decor.
And it's hugely important in Freemasonry.
Right, big time. It symbolizes like wisdom, knowledge, spiritual enlightenment, the whole shebang.
So to build a Protestant church in that time period and incorporate that kind of
A
symbolism,
bold move.
it's like he's trying to speak to two different groups at the same time.
Right, you've got the regular churchgoers just seeing a house of worship, and then maybe you've got those who understand the deeper meaning.
But what kind of symbolism are we talking about specifically? Like, give me some examples.
Okay, well, for one, there are pillars, but not just any pillars. These are specifically named Boaz and Jachin. And they were prominent features in descriptions of the Temple of Solomon.
And in Freemasonry, what do they represent?
Strength and establishment, like the entrance to some kind of secret knowledge, finding them in a Protestant church, and built by someone potentially involved with the early Freemasons. Well, it makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Like, he's hiding his secrets in plain sight.
And there's more to this church than just those pillars. Like, check out the inscription above the entrance.
Oh, okay. An inscription. What's it say?
At first glance, it just looks like a typical dedication to God. You know, standard church stuff.
Right.
But there are some phrases in it. And they're kind of, well, they could have a double meaning. Like, maybe they're hinting at these Freemason ideals we've been talking about.
A secret code hidden in plain sight. I like it. Okay, so what kind of phrases are we talking about? Give me an example.
Well, it talks about the highest God, right? And there's a big emphasis on truth and devotion.
Okay, but those are pretty common in Christianity, too.
Exactly. And that's what's so clever about it. It's like he's speaking to two different audiences at once.
Yeah. So sneaky. I love it. Are there other symbols in the church that are connected to Freemasonry?
There's one more symbol that really stands out in the Harkstead Church. It's a triangle. And get this, it's inscribed with the Hebrew letters for God's name. J-H-W-H.
Whoa. Hebrew in a Protestant church. Was that a common thing back then?
Not really, no. But in Freemasonry, that symbol is like a big deal.
How so?
It represents the Holy Trinity, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And the triangle itself can also represent the all-seeing eye, that whole idea of divine omniscience. So you can see why putting that in a Protestant church back then was, well, a pretty bold move for Picard.
It really makes you wonder, was Picard, like, trying to make a statement, or was he just expressing his own, you know, personal beliefs through these symbols? What do you think?
It's a question that keeps coming up. Was he sending a message? Trying to connect with others who might get it. It's hard to say for sure, but when you look at the tree, the inscription, all these symbols in the church, it does seem like he was really interested in hidden knowledge and all these secretive groups that were popping up at the time.
Yeah, he's like a walking mystery. But okay, we have all these intriguing hints, right? But how do we know for sure that they're connected to Freemasonry? Like, did Picard actually hang out with any known Freemasons? Did they even keep membership lists back then?
That's the tricky part. We haven't actually found Picard's name on any lodge membership rosters.
Figures.
And these old records. Good luck finding those. But his social circle, now that's where things get interesting. Remember the Huguenots?
Right, those French Protestants who had to escape to the Netherlands.
Yep, those are the ones. And Picard, he was connected to them.
Okay.
And guess what? They played a huge role in the early days of Freemasonry spreading across Europe.
Ooh.
Yeah. Lodges were like safe havens for them. They could get together, you know, share ideas, support each other, all while avoiding religious persecution. The core ideas of Freemasonry, like liberty, equality, fraternity, that really resonated with them.
So it's possible that Picard could have been exposed to Freemasonry through his Huguenot buddies. Or at least some proto-Masonic ideas that were floating around.
It all adds up, right? And there was this one guy, Jean-Roussey de Missy, super prominent Huguenot. He was, like, instrumental in setting up lodges in the Netherlands. The very first one was founded in The Hague in 1734. Now, that's after Picard's side, but still.
So what was it like, these lodges? Were they just social clubs?
They were more than that. They were hubs for intellectuals, maybe even some political exchange happening there.
We all know Picard always loved to be at the center of things.
Right. So it makes sense that he'd be drawn to these groups, these thinkers, reformers, maybe even some revolutionaries in their own right.
And who knows? Maybe some of their ideas, some of those revolutionary sparks, they came from those same symbols and secrets that Picard put into his estate and church. So where does that leave us? I mean, after uncovering all of this, do we consider Picard a confirmed member of a secret society?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's like we can look at all the clues, the whispers, the symbolism, but did he actually sign a membership card, wear a funny hat to meetings? We may never know for sure.
It's true. We're missing that smoking gun, right? That definitive proof. But then again, isn't that what makes these historical duck dives so fascinating?
Exactly. We get to be detectives, piecing together the puzzle. And with a character like Picard, well, he keeps us guessing, even now, centuries later.
He really does. I mean, we started with this seemingly normal guy, ambitious, sure, but then there's this whole other side, this secretive, maybe even dangerous side. It makes you wonder, are there other secrets hidden right in front of us? Things we see every day but don't truly understand.
All the time. And that's what I love about history. It's not just dates and names in textbooks. It's about real people with secrets, motivations, desires. Just like us.
Totally. And it makes those historical figures so much more relatable. But this whole idea of secret societies, it's endlessly fascinating, isn't it? The idea that powerful people, they're meeting in the shadows, pulling the strings with their secret handshakes and coded messages.
Oh, absolutely. We see it in movies, books, even video games. There's something about that hidden world, that sense of mystery and intrigue that just captures our imaginations.
It really does. But here, with Picquart and the Frey Lemmeborg, we have more than just a good story. We have evidence, even if it is a bit circumstantial, that connects him to this world of secrets, to these groups that were just starting to gain power.
Exactly. And that's what makes you think. If those connections existed back then in the courts of kings and these grand estates, it makes you wonder what's going on today. What kind of hidden influences are still at work, shaping the world around us?
Now that is a question. It makes you want to look twice at everything, right? To search for those hidden meanings.
Right, like maybe that plain-looking building down the street is actually the secret headquarters of.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? The possibilities are endless.
That's what I love about this. It makes you think. It makes you question. And hey, maybe it even makes you a little bit more curious about those seemingly ordinary places and people around us.
Exactly. You never know what secrets are hiding just beneath the surface.
Well said. This has been a fascinating deep dive into the life of Henrik Picquart, the mysteries of the Frey Lemmeborg, and the enduring allure of secret societies. Thank you for joining us.